Verses 15 through 23, and it will be on the screen. And you can find that on page 1224 in your pew Bibles, or follow along on the screen. This is the word of the Lord. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. So here we are on January 6th, the first Sunday of this year, and therefore, as according to our custom, a time for us to reflect on what might well be ahead and on what we can anticipate by the grace of God. This year, the first Sunday comes almost at the end of the first week. So that means that if you've had to write checks this week, or if you've had to date any of your documents, you might have written an 8 and then realize your mistake and scratch it out and write a 9 above it. I don't know if anybody uses checks anymore, but if you do, you've probably done that. It could be that you've made resolutions. Lots of us do that. And maybe 6 days in, maybe you're holding strong and you're keeping your promise to yourself. Maybe you're wavering a little. Maybe you've failed once or twice. You said, I'm not going to smoke that cigarette, and you did have one. Or maybe you said, I wasn't going to have dessert anymore, and I did have that piece of pie. There's all kinds of things, but maybe maybe all hope is not lost. Maybe you said, I stumbled, but I'm not giving up yet. Or maybe you said, you know, these resolutions, they're too tough. I'm not going to make my life stressful. I'm not going to feel bad about myself. I'm going to accept the fact that I'm a guy that likes dessert. Well, I haven't decided that. I'm still working at it. And actually, Luke Matter is my witness that I'm going to the gym to get buff, right? Luke will testify. You can talk to him later. Now, what I've noticed, though, about these resolutions is they are really introspective. They're really inward-directed. They're all about yourself. I will not, because I am not a fool, I will not say, I have made some resolutions for Joanne, and she is going to follow them because I say so. Well, you know, Joanne, you know that's not going to work. But that just isn't the way it works anyway. You make resolutions for yourself. I have decided that I need to change this in myself, so I am going to be dedicated to changing myself. And if anybody else wants to change themselves, well, that's up for them to decide. So we all have this thing where we do look at ourselves and say, how do we need to be better? And what it is we're saying, I did this. What will make me happier? What will make me fitter? What will make me enjoy life better? What is the thing that I think I need to accomplish what I want to accomplish? It's all about me. It's all about me. Now, when we come to church on the first Sunday of the year, and we think in a way that about resolutions for ourselves as a church, and we tend to think wrongly about this, because we say, okay, what do I want for this church? What do I want in worship? And what do I want for a program? And what do I want for fellowship? And what do I want? What do I want? What do I want? And it all becomes about ourselves, even as we're talking about the body that is the church. But this is not how we should think about resolutions for a church. This is not what we should be talking about so much. Instead, we have to remember that we have to think differently about what it is that we are as a church. This is not about us. What we should be thinking about is not what we want. We should not be talking about, well, what will make us happier? Or even what we think we need. Instead, when we come together on the first Sunday of the year, what we should be talking about and what we should be thinking about and what we should be forming ourselves around is, what does God want for us? What is the will of God for a congregation that's in this place, in this time, with these people, in this context? What would God want us to do? What would He want us to be accomplishing? Because this is the church of God. And we are the people of God. We are the servants of God. So what, people, do you think God wants us to be doing? What is it that you think that God wants us to be? What is it, folks, do you think God wants us to do? When we talk like that, we are being so countercultural. Because the world says, well, it really is all about yourself. What the world will say is, hey, people, you know what? You are putting your money into the budget. You are investing in this organization, and therefore it should give you what you want and make it about yourself. And we say, no, we're going to give and we're going to participate, but not so that we get purely what we want, but what we can do so that God's desires are fulfilled among us and we are revealed to be the obedient and faithful children, the people of God. Now, I chose for us to read and contemplate upon Ephesians chapter 1 very intentionally. Last Sunday, we had our old year service, and the first half of Ephesians chapter 1 really does look back. And therefore, it helped us in our movement of looking back in the year that was and seeing the things that we classed as victories, the things that we identified as failures. We talked about what we hit out of the park and when we struck out. And so we need to look back on that, and we did. But this second half of Ephesians chapter 1 is a forward-looking part of the chapter. I love Ephesians 1 for Old Year and New Year's Day. I never really noticed that before until I prepared in this season for these messages. But what God is speaking to the Apostle Paul and putting a prayer into his mind for the church about what it is that we should be praying for into the future. What it is that we should be as we walk into the future as the people of God. And what is it then? What is it that the Apostle Paul, inspired by God, asks for on behalf of the Christian community? Well, it kind of comes into two categories in this text. The first thing he says is, I want my prayer for the church going forward is that they have a spiritual mind. He says, I pray for them that they have the spirit of wisdom. Your wisdom is in short supply in this world. There are things that pass itself off as wisdom, and it's not wisdom at all. Wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom isn't having all the facts. You don't need a PhD to be wise. Spiritual wisdom is understanding what it is that God wants us to do. And being able to interpret the things that come to us and to be able to understand them in the light of God's will. Spiritual wisdom is something to pray for. If we in 2019 are a people of whom it can be said, they indeed are a community, they are a church, they are a congregation of people who are spiritually wise, imagine the level of blessing that we can have in the community and within the fellowship of this church. We will be dynamite if indeed we open ourselves to the wisdom that is the gift of God. Now, this is one of those things that you're given as a gift. We've done this spiritual gift workshop, which I did a couple, 2-3 months ago, and I really am planning on doing it again, especially for the men of the church, because when we did it last time, it was all ladies, except for Pastor Ari and me. But this time, I'm going to ask the men to come and gain insight into what God has prepared them to be so that you guys are ready also to demonstrate spiritual wisdom. I've seen it so often when things are being discussed and someone says something that is incredibly wise, like, wow, that is really helpful. Where did that come from? That capacity to identify the issue, to understand what the implications are, and to recommend a good way forward? That's spiritual wisdom. That is a gift from God. We need to pray for it. And the second part of a spiritual mind is that he gives to us revelation. And these two things go hand in hand. That this is talking about Scripture, the Bible, the Word of God, whatever way you want to describe it, that we are to not only receive the Scripture, but we are to live into the Scriptures. That we study it, we listen for the Word of God in it, and we take that Word and we apply it to our lives, and we let ourselves be shaped and formed by that Word. And it's in the living out of that Word that the Spirit of wisdom comes, and indeed we are people with the mind of Christ. So for 2019, I think that what we should be talking about and working towards is that we are people who take seriously the gift of God that is the Scripture in the midst of us, and that we open ourselves up to the Spirit, that He will lead us and guide us in wisdom in accordance with the Scripture and with what He prompts us to do. And why? The text itself gives an answer. Why should we want this spiritual mind, this being in tune with the Spirit and understanding the Word? Why should we want that? The prophet, or the apostle, gives us the answer. He says, why? So that you can know God better. If you want to serve God, if you want to love God, if you want to be the people of God, you've got to know God. And how do you know God? You know God by being a person who opens the book and who opens your mind to receive the blessing of the Spirit. So for 2019, let's be people with the mind of Christ. Let us use our brains, use our noggins in the way God wants us to do. The second thing that this text says we should have as a goal, as an ambition, as a hope, a dream for the year to come is not only that we have the spiritual mind, but that we have a spiritual heart. He says, he prays that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened. Isn't that lovely? The eyes of our heart. Think about that image. You know, that we have these hearts, you know, and say, well, and that's where love and passion and devotion is all located, right? In our hearts. But these hearts have also been given eyes to see. So that the love and the compassion and all these emotional kinds of things are there, but they're not just blind. They are discerning. They're active. They're knowing where the love that God has placed in us should be utilized. And again, the question is always why? Well, why should we do that? Why should we let our emotions and our passions be directed towards God? And the answer is that it is when we have a heart that is truly enlightened, a heart that is spiritually alive and aware and engaged, then we know hope. The hope to which God has called us, we will know. We want to live in hope. We want to be a people who say, you know what? Things aren't always easy. Things don't always work out the way we want. Sometimes there's disappointment. Sometimes there's pain. Sometimes there's all kinds of stuff. But how can we live in hope when we live in a broken world with disease and all kinds of stuff in it? How can we do it? We can live in hope if the eyes of our heart are enlightened. If we take the blinders off of our heart so that we can be the people with wide open eyes, you know, are passionate and engaged and in love with God. So there's hope. Another reason to be a people that seek to have the blinders taken off our spiritual hearts is because then we will know the riches of His glorious inheritance, which is for us. We are diverse in terms of our economic status. Some of us, you know, struggle financially. Some of us have more money than we'll ever need. Some of us worry about the future. Some of us say, I don't have any worries about the future because I'm so well taken care of. But the fact is that we who are in Christ, we who truly believe and are committed to being the children of God, have an inheritance that is beyond imagining. It is a glorious inheritance that the Lord is coming, will restore the earth, will refine the earth, will take away everything that is dark and sinister and unhealthy and evil and harmful and hurtful. You take that all away. And all that is left, all the goodness, all the purity, all the joy, all the love, all the majesty that is in the creation is an inheritance for we who believe. You don't just have an RSP. You don't just have a condo or a house or a trailer in Florida. You don't have just that stuff. You have the whole world. We have an inheritance that is for the holy people of God, which we can enjoy and know that we will enjoy that in ways that are fitting. You know, we're not going to be exploitive with that stuff. We're not going to take it for granted. We're not going to treat it poorly. No, instead, we are going to live in it the way that God wants us to, which is with joy and with tremendous thanksgiving. And the third thing that an enlightened spiritual heart does is he gives power. Power, incomparably great power for those who believe. And we feel like little people, I'm just a man. I'm just one person. We're just one little church in this great country, in this tremendous world. Who are we? We're a speck. We're a dot. But, says the Word, but says the Lord, you have been given the power of God for those who believe. So we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to say, well, you know what? Yeah, this might be a good thing to do, but it's too much. But I don't know if we're up to it. Yeah, I don't think that there's anything that we should say we're not up to it. If we see a need and we have a vision for it and we believe God is with us in it, you know what? I don't think that we can be stopped. Sometimes the problem isn't our capacity. Sometimes the problem is our courage or the level of our faith. God has given us all things. You know, this what I've been saying, it's true. I never would want to stand in the pulpit and speak to you and say things that aren't true. I work hard to ensure that what I'm saying is rooted in Scripture and is a faithful word to you, and I hope you receive it that way. But this all is not a given. What Paul writes in Ephesians 1 and what we receive is a prayer. It is the hope of the apostle inspired by God for the people. And he says, it is my prayer for you that you will experience intimacy with God, that you will be close to God, that you'll listen to God, that you'll let God into your life, that you'll be directed and shaped and propelled by God. That's my prayer. It's my prayer that you have this great hope that will sustain you in good times and in bad, and in victory and in defeat, that you will indeed live as people of hope, that you will be people who live as those who have an inheritance, not as people who are poor and neglected and abandoned, but people who have had the blessing of God poured into you and poured over you, that you are people who have, by the grace of God, by the gift of God, the power of God to accomplish great things. But this is not a given. It is possible for us, having been given all these gifts of God, to say, well, thank you, God, but you know what? I I can't believe that I can have that kind of hope. I cannot believe that I have been given that kind of power to accomplish these kind of things. I do not believe that you will welcome me that close to you, that we can have that level of intimacy between me as a creature and you as my creator. We can say no to all this, or at least live as if we have not received it. And if we do that, what fools we are. What fools we would be to turn down this great gift from God and act as if He has not given it to us. Christ is the guarantor. How do we know that we can receive this kind of hope and intimacy and inheritance and power? How can we know that it's for us? Well, we look to Christ. He is the guarantor. What has He done? We have this faith that has these articles. Hey, this is what Christ has done. He came, He lived, He stayed pure, He died for us, He took away our sin, He rose from the dead, He lives, and He's the King. We say, Amen! Amen. But I don't really want to live like that's true. I want to say it. I want to stand up and recite it together. But to actually live it, that is our mandate for 2019. We will live the faith that has been given to us. We will live the truth. We will live the power. We will live the inheritance and give glory to God. We need to be found faithful, to seize the blessings and grow in them. And my friends, may it be that together that we see God breaking out among us and God breaking in into our hearts and into our minds. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that this is laid out so clearly for us. We can see what you've all done, what you have given, what is our great privilege. It is true that we often don't want to believe it. We don't want to live your gifts to us. As we hear what the world says and we hear the whisper of the evil one telling us that we're not worthy, we're not able, we can't make a difference. And then we hear your word and you say, I have given you all power. I have made you rich. I have given you the hope of victory. Lord, help us to listen to you and to live for you, in intimacy with you, in praise to your Son, our Savior Jesus. Amen.